take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're still going to be looking at characters, and this is going to be Moses. This will be a... go ahead and put the title up, because I can't remember what I said, because I never... Obstacles to Faith, Part 1. Brother Mark, did the three-point sermon, but point one was too long already. So I decided I'd preach point one today, and Lord willing, I'm going to preach point two and three next week, because if not, we'll be here 2 hours today. Because I've said it for my sermon, like, I do half sheets. Like this, the size, I do what I'm saying. And usually, anywhere from 8 to 12, 12 is max. Well, I got through point one, I'm on like page 9. So, and I'm the type of, I guess I'm already fast, I don't want to rush, and I really want to, develop each point or go through it the way we need to. So anyway, the theme here for this Sunday and hopefully next Sunday is obstacles to faith. You know, almost every day we're faced with obstacles. An obstacle is something that blocks one's way or prevents hindering progress. You know, once again, things in our faith can be hindered. Obstacles. Now, when I think about obstacles, one of the first things that comes to my mind is video games. Now, do we have any gamers in the house today? Who's a gamer? Anyone? Okay. All right. Now, I played video games a little bit. I played the Nintendo, which was the first one for me as a kid. I played the Super Nintendo. I played the Nintendo 64. I played the PlayStation 1 and 3. I played the Xbox. I played the Wii, and that's about where I stopped. I've never played a lot, but there's something I have in common with all of them. I'm not good at any of them. I'm terrible at video games. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I used to have Madden 99, and I would put it on 2-player and play both sides just so I could have fun because I was terrible at it. I couldn't beat the computer. Now, it's not my fault, though. Because there's something that all these games have in common that gets me every time. Obstacles. I mean, whether it's a football game, you got a player that's an obstacle. And if it's a racing game, I had NASCAR 99. That was a big one there now. Now, there's always someone trying to wreck me on that race or something. Now, there's one game in particular that obstacles really got me. That was Mario Kart. If you're not familiar, Mario Kart is a racing game. It's got Mario and Luigi and all of them and the princess. You can drive like go-karts and on a video game. And there was so many, even full of obstacles. One website gave a name. They called them hazards. They're hazards. They had oil slicks, lava, traffic, snowmen, boulders, piranha plants, water, turtle shells. But the one I hated the most was the banana peel. Yeah. And I'm not, like I said, what happened, my cousin, like, before I got married, me and my cousin would come in, he had a Wii, his kids had a Wii, and we played Mario Kart for a couple of hours a night, for a week solid, and I could not beat him. I'm not good at him. I finally beat him, and I put the controller down, and I think I went home. And I hadn't played again. Or the banana peels would get me every time. It would cause the cart to spin out of control. It was slippery. It would slow you down. According to one website, the banana is the one most common item in Mario Kart. It appears in every game of the series. It's a very common obstacle in the Christian life. There are some banana peels to our faith. There are some obstacles. There's some banana peels that spiritually, if we hit them, they spin us out, they slow us down, they hinder us from running the race that is set before us. So again, Christianity, Paul said, it's a race. It's a race. He said, I ran it well. There's a race, and there's these banana peels, there's these obstacles that hinder our lives spiritually, that we have to dodge each and every day. But to be able to dodge these bananas, we need to know what they are. We know what they are. This morning, I want to look at three obstacles of faith. Three obstacles that we're faced with each and every day that will wreck us like the banana peels will on Mario Kart. In order to identify and expose these obstacles to our faith, I want to look at an incredible Old Testament character, a man known for his faith. That's Moses. F.B. Myers, in his book about Moses, said, "We make a profound mistake in attributing to the men extraordinary qualities of courage and strength. To do so misses the point of the teaching of Scripture. They talk about Moses and others. They are not different from ordinary men except in their faith." See, Moses, just like Abraham, there was nothing special about them, like there's nothing special about us. But what made them special, what made them extraordinary, was their faith. Let me ask you, do you want to be more than an ordinary man or woman? Do you want to be more than just an ordinary husband or wife? Do you want to be more than just an ordinary father or mother? Do you want to be more than an ordinary grandfather or grandmother? Do you want to be more than just an ordinary friend? Do you want to be more than just an ordinary son or daughter? And the list can go on and on. There's one thing that can take you from ordinary to extraordinary. Faith. Faith. Moses was that kind of man. Faith was the reason that he was extraordinary. Hebrews 11, 23 through 29, it cites four times the secret to all that Moses did for his people. Faith. Now, one writer said this, the writer of Hebrews moved forward now from the faith of Joseph to the faith of Moses, to whom he dedicated attention only second to Abraham. So when you read Hebrews 11, the first person he writes the most about is Abraham. But the second is Moses and his faith. Moses. Moses was a man of faith. But to have the kind of faith that Moses had required him to overcome some obstacles to his faith that we must overcome if we're going to have the faith that Moses had. This morning, I want to take a brief look at Moses' life and identify three obstacles of faith where we can avoid them. Now, I want to define what an obstacle of faith is, okay? An obstacle of faith are things that cause us to make wrong decisions due to something other than God's word making that decision for you. Well, again, so an obstacle of faith is something that gets us from not following God like we're supposed to, okay? So what is number one, and it's the one we're going to look at today, number one is fear. Fear. So we're going to look at letter A, B, and C, and that's really going to be our point for today. But for in a series, number one is fear. Fear is an obstacle to faith. Letter A here is the presence of faith. Let me ask you, are you scared? Did you spend, in this last week, would you characterize it by being fearful? Are you always worried? That's a type of fear. Are you always worried and fearful of the future? Or what's going to happen? Or the unknown? Statistics would say you are. Statistics of fear in our world. Now, I just Googled this. There's plenty of articles. I just picked one. Because I kind of looked down. And it said this one article said at least 60% of adults admit to at least having one unreasonable fear. We live in a world of fear, even inside the church. I mean, the top fears of 2021, loved one dying, mass shootings, not having enough money for retirement, terrorism, government corruption, becoming terminally ill, high medical bills, widespread civil unrest. I mean, and then you can go on, and I can sit here for probably for 2 hours reading article after article that I found on Google that talked about fear and the struggle that Americans have with fear. And I can name all the phobias. You ever look at a list of phobias? There's all types of phobias that we've named because people struggle with fear. Now, I have some phobias. I don't have a phobia of snake, but I have a phobia of being bitten by a snake. Now, he's not a snake. And my biggest fear is getting bit by a rattlesnake. I'll be honest with you. If you want to know that, and second is a black widow. And if I go down the road, if you see me acting crazy, it's called a spider got on me. I'm not terrified, but I don't like them. I don't really like bugs, to be honest with you. I don't like crickets. I don't like frogs. And I used to get made fun of as a kid because I live in the country. I used to lie about it. I'll tell you, I don't like them. Now, I fish with crickets, but I don't like bugs. I don't pick up lizards. That's just me. I just don't like them. But I'm terrified. I mean, I'm not holding it in my sleep, but I love to go hiking. I love to fish. But getting bit by a rattlesnake, my biggest fear is getting bit by a rattlesnake. Like, I hike up, we've hiked up, me and Libby's had three miles up into the woods. Getting bit 3 miles up, I'm probably going to be a goner. That's just my thinking. If not, I'm going to lose a leg or a hand, you know. Anyway, that's what goes through my mind. I do a little landscaping, and I was mulching the other day in someone's house, and in a bush, and I stuck my hand, like, there could be a snake in there. That's in my mind. But we all have fears. Statistics tell us that. But not only that, if you are fearful today, you should be concerned, but hey, you're in some good presence, because the story in the Bible of fear with people who were in fear. If you're fearful, don't feel bad. You're in some good company. I think about Abraham, and we're going to come back to this, but Genesis, you don't have to turn there, but I am going to read a few verses in Genesis 12, verse 11. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, then he said, Sarah, his wife, behold, I know thou art fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, thee is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. That's fear. He was fearful. Genesis 20:11, Abraham said, and again, the same thing, but a different time. Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God, not in place, they will slay me for my wife's sake. What do we see? We see that Abraham, the father of Abraham, y'all's most favorite children's song, Father Abraham, he had fear. He struggled with fear. Elijah, we talked about this when I preached on Elijah, but when Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you, what did he do? We read in 1 Kings 19 that he got up and he left. He didn't seek God. He didn't wait for God to tell him what to do. He just ran. What do we see? Fear. We preached on Gideon. The Bible says in Judges 7, 10 to 11, but if thou fear to go down, go with thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. Okay, so what God said, Gideon, if you're still fearful, go down and listen to what I said. Now listen to this. Then went he down. What does that tell me? God said, if you're scared, go down. That's exactly what he did. What does that tell me? Gideon was scared. He was fearful. The disciples, Matthew 8:26, he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? What do we see? Fear. We see fear. Fear is everywhere. Fear is just waiting to attack you. Fear will come upon you in a minute's notice. Really, fear will come on you in a second's notice. I mean, fear is just one call away. I mean, fear is always there, ready to keep you company. You know? I mean, it's right there at your back door. I mean, 100 things can be going right in your day, today. And one little thing can happen, or one possible thing can happen, and what happens? You become fearful. Fear in ever presence. Some of the greatest battles is with fear. Fear is real, and fear is something all of us have to face. We see the presence of fear. But I don't want to look just that. I want to look also, letter B, the problem with fear. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. No, the problem with fear, okay? One writer said this. Fear is a faith killer. Fear is a faith killer. And isn't it difficult to understand how fear could be a faith killer? Those who have extreme fear about anything will naturally focus on themselves and the problem and not on God and His willingness to help them. Okay? So what the Bible says is that fear is a faith killer. So what happens is that when you have fear, if you don't keep it in check, you become focused on fear and focused on yourself. That's really what it is. You know, when you're fearful, you think about yourself, right? Right? Think about it, okay? So when you're fearful, you're thinking about yourself and you're thinking about your problem, and if you're not careful, you forget all about God and all about what God tells you to do. That's the problem. That's what he's saying there. In other words, when fear becomes the driving force in your life, fear becomes the deciding factor and not God's word. And at some point, you're going to make a sinful decision. Now, maybe not automatically. I mean, I'm fearful of snakes, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to make a sinful choice necessarily. But if every day, what leads me and guides me is fear, then at some point, I will make a sinful decision, and fear is what's making my decision each and every time. Well, you did, hopefully something that none of y'all can do. If you're always fearing about having enough money and fear, and that's what drives you, then you may end up doing something you shouldn't do to get money. You may steal because your biggest fear is what's leading you. You understand? Wife said, thank you. I like someone, at least somebody understands. Here are, I think I may have projected, I put that up there, number one. Now, did I do that with the map or did I not? The next slide. No, I didn't. Okay, I thought I should have, but I didn't. The examples here, all right? And again, let's go to the Bible. Let's see. Let's not take my word for you. Here's an example. I've already read the verse, but we know that Abraham is going, walking around, and he says, hey, you're a good-looking woman. That's why I married you. He said, but here's the deal. If they're going to see how good-looking you are, and they're going to kill me, and I don't want to die, I'm scared. So what did that fear result in? Well, I'll tell you, number one, it resulted in him telling a lie, right? I mean, Abraham straight up lied. I mean, yeah, she was his half-sister, I think, but still, it was a lie. I mean, the principle there was it was a lie. He made out that she was not his wife. That's what he did, okay? What else happened? Well, I put this down. He didn't love his wife as himself, did he? It sounds noble, right? But, well, if they'll kill me and you'll stay alive. Well, what kind of life? I'm not sure. But I know one situation. I mean, the man took her. And to be frank, we're going to sleep with her. Well, that's not a real nice thing to do to your wife. Why? What in his mind thought that was a good idea? Fear. Fear became an obstruction to faith, and fear led him to not to lie, not to tell the truth, but also not to love his wife. At the end of the day, what he was concerned about was himself. There was nothing faithful about, there was nothing about, his fear caused him just to throw the Bible out the window. That's an obstacle to faith. Fear, and the problem with fear is that it will lead you to disobey God if it's a driving force in your life. Elijah. I've already said it, but what is fear result? He got scared. Now, man, he not only done a lot of good things, he not only been fed by a crow, basically. And he went to a widow, and the oil never ran out, but now he's scared because some wicked woman said, I'm going to kill you. He takes off. He just takes off. He didn't check with God. Isaac did the same thing that Abraham did. In Genesis 26, it said, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say that she is my wife, lest they should kill me. And by the way, a lot of times fear is centered around you. Fear, just like worry, fear is self-focused. So if you're fearful, it may be because you're selfish. Because you're worried about yourself. I didn't even put that in my note, but that's a truth. Every time you see this, fear, why do you fear? Because this might happen to me. Well, that's selfishness. That's self-centeredness. Anyway, just think about that. I mean, I'm selfish, so maybe you are too. Let me say it like this. Unresolved fear in your life will result in sin. Unresolved fear. Hey, Peter, what did Peter do? Peter was scared. You know why he lied with Daryl and cussed and said, I don't know Jesus? Because he was scared. He was scared. He was scared out of his mind. He was scared out of his mind. And what did it lead to? It led to sin. That's the problem with fear. Fear, in all cases, was the culprit that led them to disobey God. And that is the problem with fear. One writer said this, fear and faith cannot coexist. Now, I don't really know if that's true. I told y'all Wednesday night. But I will say this, you can't be led by both. If fear and faith are in the same room, there's no way you can follow both of them. You gotta choose, am I gonna follow fear or am I gonna follow faith? But I do think sometimes for the Lord, we can be obedient to God, but still be scared out of our minds. But you can't be controlled by both. They might can coexist, but you can only be controlled by one of them. Either fear or faith. I said it like this. The presence of fear is a problem because it competes with faith. I'll say it like that. It competes with faith. I don't know if they can coexist or not. Technically, I don't know if they can or can't. I don't really care, really. But the point is that if fear is in your life, and the problem is going to compete for faith. It's going to compete for the number one spot in your life. And some of y'all worst thing may not be some engrossed immortality or engrossed sin. And maybe in fact that each and every day you get up and you serve fear. Fear may be your idol today. God may not be your God. Fear may be. Fear may be what you're bound down to every day you wake up. Fear. Which is why you can't be obedient to not worry. Why you can't have peace. Why you can't have happiness. And because and joy, because you're serving fear. Hey, I've been there. I told y'all when you're not. I tend to look down the road too much. I'm always trying to avoid every problem I possibly can. That's a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing. Remember the story of the apostles? They got on a boat, right? They were going to the other side, and suddenly a fierce storm hit, and they were fearful, literally thought they were going to die. They started shouting, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And what did he say in Matthew 8:26? I've already read it. And he said, then why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? So, there is a connection between faith and fear. Basically, even Jesus said, the reason you are fearful is because you have a little faith. So it's like this, here's faith, here's fear. If you have a lot of fear, you ain't gonna have a lot of faith. And if you have a lot of faith, you're not gonna have fear. And so, I'll be honest with you, that verse makes me think that fear and faith can't coexist. Well, again, I don't know. I argue that in my mind a lot. But here's the thing, they will compete. And you will not serve both of them at the same time. You will not. You will not serve both of them. The problem with fear is it's in a fight to be where faith is at. And without faith, you cannot please God. Fear is in a fight with you each and every day to be where faith in God is supposed to be. Fear is an obstacle to faith. We see the problem of fear through the examples, and I should have projected this, but I didn't. But then number two on the letter B, and we see it also in the exhortation. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Well, even then, we still see that same principle of fear and faith can't be in the same room together. It's that if you fear man, you'll be snared, but if you trust God, you'll be safe. So even now, then still, you can't follow both. Fear is there and faith is here. You got to decide. So, even this picture paints, he paints a picture for us. Now, the specific fear here is the fear of man, okay? So I want you to understand that it's the fear of man. It's the fear of what man can do, fear of what man thinks, but it's still fear. And what did it say about this fear? It says in the Bible there, it says just the problem is that fear of man is a snare, okay? Now, what is a snare? Well, I use a trap, and today when you say snare, it's basically a rope with a noose that you hang in a bush, and something comes through it and catch it, okay? That's not what it's here. In this verse, it's a bird net. It's a trap for a bird, okay? When I looked on my Bible program, and it says a dangerous trap. It's a lure or a trap to bring one to disaster or to ruins, okay? Now, I understand. I don't be very sensitive as I can be, because I know we have people who love animals, but I used to hunt. I wouldn't say a big hunter, but I hunted whitetail deer. My dad was a big hunter. He got a 10-point mounted and 11-point mounted. He was a big hunter. He used to trap. And I took up trapping for a few years. I used leg hold trap, which is like a small bear trap. I used body grip trap, which are things that you trap like beavers and stuff in. And I used snares. I caught possums, raccoons, beavers, muskrats, and I did catch a gray fox that took me a week to catch. And kept outsmarting me. And I caught it. Now, I'm just saying this, I used to not be sensitive about this. I have become more sensitive. I don't know if I should or shouldn't, but I have. But here's the bottom line. Out of all them animals, 100% of them died. They were brought to ruin, Brother Mark. That's a picture that Solomon's painting about fear. That's the problem with fear. Is that fear is a snare, it's a trap, and all it's going to do is bring you to the ruins. It's going to bring you to ruins. That's what he's saying. So yeah, I know so many times we want to preach on all these other gross sins, as we like to call it, but man, serving fear is probably one of the worst sins you can do. Because it's a dangerous trap. You'll never go anywhere spiritually if you serve fear. That's what he's saying. I mean, that's it. The problem with fear is it's a snare that leads to death. Why? Because if you are led by fear, you are not living by faith. And if you're not living by faith, you're not going to obey the Bible. And if you're not obeying the Bible, you're going to sin. And sin brings forth death. Now, and let me say that again. That's how my mind works. You may be confused. Let me say it's like a circle. If you're led by fear, you're not living by faith. And when you're not living by faith, you're not going to obey the Bible. And if you're not obeying the Bible, you're going to sin. And sin, James said, brings forth death. Each and every time. That's why that fear is such an obstacle to faith. And here's the thing, in this room, and I've seen it in my own life, the older we get, we tend to become more fearful. Why is that, Brother Mike? When I was 20, I wasn't scared of anything. Wasn't worried about the next day, nothing. Why is that? But we do. I would say that, some of us probably, you may not be struggling with fornication. You might be, I don't know. But a lot of you in this room probably are struggling with fear. And it's probably destroying your relationship with God, not destroying your relationship, but destroying your fellowship and the benefit of your relationship with God. The benefit and the fellowship of it. That may be why you're miserable. That may be why you just can't get over the hump. Because you're living by fear and not by faith. It's an obstacle. Fear. The problem with fear is that it's an obstacle to faith. Fear will keep people from obedience. We see the presence of fear. We see the problem with fear. Now let us see here the power over fear. Now, then we're going to get back to Hebrews. And next week, we'll look more at Hebrews chapter 11. But let's look here at verse 23 of chapter 11. And I said, I knew the first point. You're probably thinking, you didn't say anything about Moses. But I am now. And next week, we're going to be a little more heavy in. Because next week, I'll go ahead and tell you. Because I've got it right here. Number two is pleasure / comfort. And I've got my 3 points right there, but I'm not going to spoil that for you. I'm excited about that. Hebrews 11:23. And if you write in your Bible, it'd be good to highlight this. Or by faith, you can highlight that. Moses, when he was born, when he was 3 months of his parents, because they saw him, or saw him with a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandments. You see, not afraid. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin. That's point number two next week. You know, why do some people not, what destroys people's faith? They rather live for pleasure than live by faith. Anyway, we'll get that next week. I think it's going to be good, hopefully. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater, well, let's go to verse 27. And by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing, up there it is, the wrath of the king. Okay. So, what is the power over fear? I'm going to blow your mind. Faith. And I'm going to sound like an oxymoron, don't it? Faith. You stay with me. Moses' parents and Moses had a reason to be fearful. You know, let me paint this picture. Hebrews 11:23, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Exodus 1:16. And he said, it is a Pharaoh. When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stool, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. Okay. I don't know if you realize this, but, you know, kings and Pharaoh wasn't like the president. At the end of the day, our president can't just come and just kill us. That's still against the law. Well, the king could. The king could pretty much do what he wanted. Okay? So he said, I want y'all to kill all the sons that are born in you. So when a minute Moses was born, they could have been like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, like most of us live our lives. You know, what am I going to do? Oh, how's this going to work? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Fear. See? That's that. Okay? Fear. They could. They had a reason to be fearful, okay? Let's move on to the next one. Hebrews 11:27. We see Moses. Said, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Once again, Moses had a reason to be fearful. It's called the king. You know, I think Proverbs talked about the wrath of a king. You don't want the wrath of a king. Okay? You don't want that. But it says here that Moses had a reason to fear. Moses and Moses' parents had a reason to fear. If they would have been led by their fear, it would have led to murder and disobedience. Now, I mean, that's the obvious result. All right, Moses' parents had Moses. Well, he's a boy. Well, again, what's going to happen to us if we don't kill him? What's going to happen? Well, if they would have followed fear, fear would have resulted eventually in killing him. But that's not what happened. Because it said they wasn't afraid. Moses could have said, I mean, he knew, he lived in Egypt, he was raised in Egypt. He had it made. And realized, well, this ain't right. He could have said, well, you know, he could have justified staying in Egypt. You know, well, I could do better here than I could out there. He could have rationalized staying. You know, well, you know, the king's gonna do something to me if I don't stay. Well, that'd have been disobedient because God didn't want him to stay there. We see that later. God didn't want him staying there. That wasn't what he needed to be. They had a reason to be fearful. But in both cases, it said in verse 23, they were not afraid. And verse 27, not fearing. So, they had the remedy to fear. They had felt the power over fear. They had a reason to fear, but they also had a remedy for fear. What was it? Listen to this, because this is it right here. Moses' parents and Moses had the remedy to fear. You know what it was? It was faith. Now, I want to point out something. The remedy from fear is not found in fear being removed. Stay with me. I think you're where we get mixed up. They were scared. The remedy wasn't for God to zap the king dead, was it? God didn't change your situation at all. See, what we do, we think, Lord, help me quit being fearful. What we're saying sometimes is, Lord, just remove everything that scares me. Remove every problem that I have. Then I wouldn't be, that's what you're saying today. Now, if I didn't have any problem, I wouldn't be fearful right now. I wouldn't be worrying right now. If I didn't have any, but that's not what God did. God didn't remove the king. God didn't put in a new king that said, hey, when a minute Moses was born, God didn't put in a new king saying, you don't have to kill your baby boy. The remedy of fear is not the removal of fear. The remedy to your worrying is not necessarily found in God removing that situation or changing that situation. The remedy to fear is faith. The fear was still there. You will never overcome fear by trying to remove the issue that makes you fearful. You know why? Because guess what? Another fear is just going to take its place. Come on now, you know that's true. How many of y'all been worried about something and that gets solved? And then the next day, you find something else to worry about. You find something else to be fearful about. So the issue is not in the abundance of problems. The issue is the lack of your faith. The issue is that fear has become like this wall. It's an obstacle. And that's your problem. The lack of faith. And you're following fear. That's the problem. It's not the fact of having problems you have. It's the fact that it's a lack of faith. The remedy for fear is faith. And it's so simple, yet overlooked. Verse 23, by faith. That is what they did. It was that they put faith in God and in God's word. Verse 27, Moses did the same thing, by faith. What made Moses the godly man he was is that he didn't let fear destroy his faith. Instead, he overcame his fear through faith. Fear is the deadliest thing for faith. And faith is the deadliest thing to fear. Amen. Fear will destroy your faith, but faith can destroy your fear. One person, I have no clue who this is, I found it on the internet actually, but it's good. It's right. Fear loses its power when we actively trust God more than what we fear. So what's the power of a fear? For you to make a decision. A conscious decision to say, I am going to have faith in God. Well, again, it's not this hocus pocus. I'm just going to sit here until God just removes my fear and one day I'll just not be fearful. No, that's not how it's going to work. You're going to have to do it by faith. You're going to have to decide, I am going to choose to put my faith in God and that he can take care of the situation and I'm going to do what God said no matter what. Even if I don't have a dollar to my name, I'm not going to go out and rob a bank because by faith, God told me not to steal. By faith. How to overcome fear? Choose to have faith. You have to choose that I'm going to serve faith over fear. That's what Moses' parents did. That's what Moses did. The fear didn't go away, but they decided to let their faith control them and not their fear. They said, I'm going to let the word of God control what I do, not fear. We're just like that. Like the snakes. I'm not going to let the fear of snakes keep me from fishing and hiking. In that case, I'm going to have to trust God. Whew. You know, I mean, a little funny, but I'm not going to let fear control. You know why? It's a choice. It's a choice. I am very scared of getting bit by a rattlesnake. Not so much a copperhead. In my mind, no, they're not deadly. I just make a choice to do that. It's a choice. It's a choice. I choose not to serve the fear of snakes. I don't have water moccasins here. If you do, don't tell me, because I don't think we do. Okay, don't tell me. But I mean, back home, me and my buddy would wade the creek, and there'd be snakes on the log, water moccasins. But we still went anyway. I was scared then. And I like my buddy wasn't even scared, so I used to let him go first everywhere we went. He never seemed to be scared. But why? I have a fear of snakes and rattlesnakes, but it does not stop me from going hiking. Why? Because I choose not to. Well, the same thing true in your spiritual life. If you're fearful of something, you have to choose not to do it. Just like I said last week about saying no to temptation. Sometimes the escape from temptation is simply saying no. No. The power over fear is simply saying, I'm not going to let fear control me. The problem is, you know why some of you are failing at this? Because you believe this lie that it's a mystical thing that doesn't involve you at all. We're free will Baptists. Free will. We believe you have free will and your will is involved. We believe that in your salvation. We believe that you have a will and you have a choice to decide if you want to trust Jesus. We all have a will to decide, I am not going to live by fear. I'm going to live by faith. That's it. I mean, I know you said, well, that's it. Yeah, that's it. That's what it says there, right? By faith. By faith. It's a choice. Fear is here. You wake up. Fear is here. Faith here. I'm going to choose this. That's it. Now, it's not always that easy, and it's a struggle. We have to lay away every sin and weight that besets us. You know, you're going to get up one day, and you're going to start going this way sometime. I understand that. I'm not saying God, but it's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Just like I'm going to get up, and let me tell you, my mom, who's close to 70 now, my aunt, who's in her 60s, my sister, myself and my wife are going kayak canoeing next week if it don't rain. They're coming up. We're going to float the river from Hilton to Wallow Gap. It ought to be an interesting time, but I'm looking forward to it. But I'm not willing to say, my fear of snakes don't stop me from doing that. I'm probably going to go hiking pretty soon. My fear of snakes, I mean, I get up, I'm fearful of snakes, but I'm not going to let that control me. Same thing in your spiritual life. Don't let it control you. That's really it. It's a conscious decision, not just Walt Disney World, Hocus Pocus, magic carpet ride. Christianity. And it's something that involves you in saying, this is what I've got to do. And to do that, yeah, you're going to renew your mind. You're going to walk with God. And it may not happen. You may go this way for a little bit, and you may struggle. You may have to come back. You're going to work at it. I mean, what then? Your faith will work. You have to work at it. That's it. And move on to my next page, and I'll be done. And it's just like saying no to temptation. You have to have faith in God's word, God's power, God's plan, and God's provision. The real reason that you're so scared of life is because you're not trusting God. What you need to do is trust. Fear is the obstacle. You've got to remove that. You've got to turn from that. In conclusion, fear is an obstacle to faith. Well, I'm going to say, look, I'm three things. Fear is present. Now, I'm not going to deny that. That's something each and every day and there are a few people who just don't seem to worry about nothing, but most people who are, you know, mature, responsible, and Christians, like I think most of you are, you have fears. But let me tell you something. Fear can be a problem if you don't deal with it. And it's just like, some of y'all are still struggling with it, and it's just like any sin. It's got so big. Just like, Proverbs said, basically adultery is like sin that wraps you up with a cord and you can't break it. The same thing with fear. The reason some of you are so overwhelmed with fear is that you've been walking in this direction for 10 years. And not even seen the fact that it's a sin. And it's gotten so big that it's taking you further than you ever thought. Making you pay more than you ever thought you'd pay. And making you stay longer than you ever stayed because really, at the end of the day, it's sin. Oh, we don't see it like that. Which is why we're never going to overcome it if we don't see that. It's a problem. Oh. But fear can be powerless if you trust. Like any other sin. Any other sin. Sin of lying. Nothing can overcome sin by putting faith in God's word and obeying it. If you trust, like if you see that again, I know telling the church is going to get me in trouble. But faith, I believe God knows better than me. So I'm going to tell the truth. That's the only way you'll tell the truth in a situation where you're going to get a whooping. If you have faith in God's word over what you think should happen. Same thing with fear. Same thing. You've got to say, I'm going to trust God, and God's told me to be careful for nothing. You're not. It's a choice. It's a choice. Yeah, if you're way down here, it ain't going to happen overnight. If you start walking this way, it's going to take a while. It's going to be a struggle. I mean, so sin is a struggle. But it can be powerless if you trust. See, the problem with this, and a lot of people don't like stuff like this because it puts the ball in your court. Well, again, we want the Holy Spirit, like I said in Galatians, we think the Holy Spirit is just God, just the Spirit that takes over, and we're just mindless. And he's a perpetual motion machine in what we think, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a perpetual motion machine to where we just turn our mind off and do nothing. No. See, the problem, the reason most people don't want to hear this, and I'm not saying don't, is that it puts the ball in your court. It's your responsibility. Like that, it's your responsibility to walk in the Spirit. It's your responsibility to turn from fear and walk in faith. That is your responsibility. God isn't going to do it for you automatically. Just like any other sin. Fear, I'm telling you, but fear can be powerless if you trust faith. If you trust and have faith in God. And we stand on our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm not going to re-preach my sermon. I don't like when other people do that. And that's about what I was fitting to do. Preach another 10 minutes, the same thing I already said. So we're going to stop it right there. And the piano players come up. I have an inclination. I have a suspicion that a lot of you struggle with this. I have an inclination that some of y'all struggle with fear. I have an inclination that fear is probably one thing hindering your spiritual life more than anything else in your life. Is it an obstacle in your life? That's the question. Isn't it an obstacle? Is fear an obstacle to your faith today? Like next week, we're going to talk about pleasure and comfort. We're going to talk about sin and things like that. You know, but that's not this week. That's next week. What about today? This is probably something I think would probably hint more, would be more applicable to more mature Christians probably. And if they begin to play, hey, let me ask you, is fear hindering your relationship, the benefit of your relationship with God? Are you not getting to enjoy the Christian life and the benefit of it simply because you're fearful? Hey, if that's you, maybe you can come to the altar. It's open all the time. Have a feeling. See, now I guarantee you fear is not on your checklist of things you shouldn't do. Oh, but it needs to be. It needs to be. If God spoke to you, I want you to talk to him. Hey, it's a sin. What you need to do is you need to repent. You want to have a revival, like I said, I think last week in your life, then you might need to repent being fearful, or being led, let me excuse you, being controlled by fear. By being controlled, let me make it that way, by being controlled by fear. They're going to play through one more time, and when they do, we're going to stop, and we're going to close in prayer. I hope that if God spoke to you, not me, I hope if God spoke to you, that you'll deal with that with God today.